time now is 9:59. Coming up next is Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. That's followed at 10:15 by Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, on stage and studio, DMA features artists from the 20th annual Just Add Water Playwrights Festival, happening this weekend. And at 11:30 on Art Focus, the Portland Art Museum's curator of modern and contemporary art talks about the new exhibit of drawings and paintings from the artist Richard Diebenkorn. Today in Portland, we'll see a sunny and hot day with temperatures up around 95. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by member support. If you'd like to become a member, go to kboo.fm and click on Donate.
KBOO is celebrating 50 years of broadcasting and the many people who are part of KBOO's history.
KBOO, I really think, is a good resource, and they give a voice to people who might be isolated or disfranchised. I thought that was good, how they put it in the mission statement.
KBOO was a lot of activity, and I was struck by the diversity. It was very welcoming, and I thought, this is something I like to be involved with.
The day I walked in, it was during pledge drive, and I was immediately pulled over to the membership drive table, which was in the front lobby, and we were all talking on the air about why you should join KBOO. And it was fun.
To hear the stories of people who helped make KBOO what it is today, go to 50yearsofkboo.fm and click on KBOO Stories Project.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, July 24th, 2018, and you are listening to KBOO, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the Fishnet. Radio for woke folk and the weird, feared, and fully realized resistance, which will be out in full force today at the Occupy ISIS encampment, which sometime noon, mid-afternoon. They're probably down there right now spraying pepper and punching people in the face. But yeah, so our astonishingly incompetent, I guess, unless he's doing this deliberately, Mayor Wheeler has decided that he is going to roust everyone from the encampment. And there has, to date, just a few minutes ago, been no backtracking, no compromise, no attempt to at any form of communication. So we will wait and we will see. And that's in general a helpful position to take. We not wait, rather than wait and see, we'll see, but we won't wait. And I know people are massing down there right now. This is one of those situations in which numbers count. Numbers count. People coming out and showing their community, the strength of community. So that's it. That's that out of Cascadia. Briefly, it's going to be hot and sunny for most of the week. There's a heat advisory on until Thursday. Need I say more? Nope, not me. But you know who we really would like to talk to is Sam Husseini. About the same time that Sam was in Helsinki attempting to get some notion of what Donald Trump's position might be on nuclear weapons, and specifically America's awesomely dreadful, strange nuclear obsession, which I expect Trump thinks it's not a big bang with consequences. It's just a big, it's a bigger bang than other bangs, and I don't think that Trump has any notion whatsoever of the consequences, how very different nuclear war would look. So that said, very likely Vladimir Putin does, and so that alone, that's helpful, in my opinion. At the same time that Sam Husseini was in Helsinki attempting to confront Donald Trump on these and other issues, Andrew Coburn had a piece in Harper's Magazine on how to start a nuclear war, and it seems that it's pretty simple. Those are where the pieces are on the chessboard, and that is where we left off. And we're very fortunate today to have Sam Husseini himself on the line talking to us about what actually happened in Helsinki. Good morning, Sam. Thank you very much for joining us today.
You're very welcome. Good to be with you.
Well, aside from all the other wonderful things that you do, and public accuracy work, and all that, you were in Helsinki and attempted to ask a question. What questions were you interested in asking Donald Trump?
You broke off for just a second
there. I'm sorry. What questions were you interested in confronting Trump with at when you were in Helsinki, and what was the response to your attempt to ask him these questions, very important questions that had not been asked by anyone else, apparently?
What one question was to both Trump and Putin, and that was basically last year 122 countries voted for nuclear weapon ban treaty. The U.S. and Russia, Russian governments are blocking it. It's also the 50th anniversary from the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty, in which the incumbent nuclear powers promised, in return for the countries that didn't have nuclear weapons promising that they wouldn't get them, that the states that did have nuclear weapons promised good faith efforts at eliminating their arsenals, and they have not done that. Why are you blocking the new weapons ban treaty, and why have you not lived up to your responsibilities under the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty? That was my first question to both Presidents Trump and Putin. And then I had a question just simply to Donald Trump. A lot of people talk about Russiagate and Russian influence, but there's one country that in many respects has more power over the U.S. Body politic and U.S. establishment, and that's Israel. To wit, Israel refuses to acknowledge that it has a nuclear weapons arsenal, and the U.S. has adopted that policy, not just the Trump administration, but every administration since the Nixon administration. Will you, President Trump, acknowledge the reality of Israel's nuclear weapons arsenal and getting us to a situation where we can have serious open discussions right here and right now?
And of course, Israel is becoming more and more aggressive. This is an all-out state-of-the-art military power that is waging all-out war on citizens who have no option to leave. They're captive in a very, very small area in Gaza. And the war is being waged on them day and night, as well as, of course, Israel's other aggressions throughout the region. Excuse me, go ahead.
Yeah, well, part of the issue is that they're not citizens. They're Palestinians, and they don't have a state.
That's right, yes.
And they are, in effect, under occupation or control by Israel that denies them water, airspace, travel, housing, bombs them periodically, and has turned the Palestinians in Gaza into living into a basic prison camp. Not that.
Well, they're refugees in their own country. They're refugees in their own land.
Many of the people in Gaza are from other parts of Palestine and were, in effect, ethnically cleansed there. That's correct. And meanwhile, Israel is, expanding its colonial settlements on the West Bank and has done what colonial powers traditionally do, which is divide and conquer. They've divided the Palestinians into different segments and are oppressing them in various ways, and is generally acting like a regional power that is increasingly empowered by Trump's, in effect, green light for further violence in the region. So you see Israeli strikes at Syria occasionally, and it's quite possible. And there was some interesting reporting in the New Yorker recently about Israel and Saudi Arabia, the other main U.S. establishment proxy in the Middle East, basically urging that Trump cut a deal with Putin, whereby the U.S. establishment has more power in the Middle East, and you give Putin some kind of sanctions relief or more elbow room in his own periphery, closer to Russia. Basically deal cutting, and you don't want the anti-Russia sentiment to boil over to the point where it could trigger a nuclear war, but you also don't really want collusion between the so-called great powers, as past colonial powers have done, divide up areas and collude and further oppress various people. So what I want is an independent journalism that is attempting to scrutinize all of the players in that way.
Yeah, the more that we know, the more that is out in the open, the safer we are. I wonder sometimes why the Palestinians have also virtually nothing left to lose, and they might be a voice raised against Israel's, or at least to air the fact of Israel's nuclear arsenal before it's deployed against Iran. Hiding in plain sight would might. I often wonder why that hasn't been exercised as an option. And some of these questions, I wonder if any of this was raised, if there were any deals. You mentioned deals, these potential deals. Any of this raised behind closed doors in Helsinki when Trump and Putin were talking? And Putin obviously manipulating Trump. This is in the last few seconds. I just realized we are very much out of time, but any thought on that, just to leave with our listeners today?
Yeah, I mean, the threat is that they are cutting these deals, and you do want things out in the open. Unfortunately, lots of things aren't done out in the open. The UN permanent members of the Security Council regularly meet in secret, and I think that we're seeing an acceleration of those deal cuttings. Kushner, Trump's son-in-law, is in charge of a so-called, you know, peace effort in the Middle East. He has a war cabinet with John Bolton and Pompeo and Haspel at CIA. So it's a very dangerous hand right now, and I think we have to keep our eyes on the prize and not get distracted by personalities or partisanship and so on.
Thank you so much, Sam. I'm so grateful to you for joining us today. I hope to have an opportunity to talk to you at greater length. There was a lot said in very little time, and I thank you so much for that. This has been...
thank you, Chris.
Thank you so much. My guest has been, of course, Sam Hosseini. This has been Air Cascadia for Tuesday, July 24th. Engineering, Ray engineered for us today. Thanks, Ray. And, of course, Derek Cooks is our AM News and Public Affairs Director. Thanks, Derek. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand down at the Occupy ISIS. Just a thought.